Hey, John Weideman, do you like the idea of the ring having the goat emblem on it for the Cubs World Series?
I have no problem with that. I think that makes those rings singularly unique. And, you know, if I was a Cubs fan, I would think that would be cool. And if I was a Cubs player, I would know that I would have something that, you know, will never be produced again. Like, let's say if they win, John, let's say if they win another World Series coming up this fall, and that's entirely possible with as good of a team as they are. You know, would they put the goat on that ring? Probably not. So,
yeah, no, in fact.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
In fact, Rosenblum said, well, then are they going to put zero diamonds in there? Because it was 108 on the last one. So it's just a little, no, it's just another ring now.
Oh, no.
Nice to hear you, John. By the way, do the Blackhawks get for their Stanley Cups, do they get rings too, like in baseball?
Yes, everybody did. Rocky Wirtz, the chairman and and owner of the Chicago Blackhawks, has been exceedingly generous, and he made sure that everybody within the organization that had anything to do with the Cup run received a ring. And I've had the good fortune of having three of them. They all live in a safe deposit box at the bank. So in case anybody's out there listening thinking, hey, Weideman's got them at his house, now forget that idea. They live in a safe deposit box. And I bring them out a couple times a year to show family members and that. And I am eternally grateful to Rocky for, you know, all of the things that he's done for me and for my family. And the rings are just one big part of that.
I think the whole town's grateful, too. I mean, I was at the game last night and I was saying how, you know, it sounds cliche, but it's true. Playoff hockey is unlike anything else. And there we were, not playing that well, losing 1-0. And there were times where we'd have some strong possessions, and the crowd was just like willing the team. They were cheering and cheering and cheering. You know, while we weren't scoring, we were losing, but they were just so into it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that too. I saw a thrust from the Blackhawks in that third period that I think you're going to see at the start of tomorrow night's game. And Nashville, they need to be given a lot of credit. They got a tremendous goaltending effort from Pekka Rinne. That's his first, by the way, that's the first road shutout in franchise history for the Nashville Predators in the playoffs. So, you know, good for them. It was a 1-0 shutout, and the Blackhawks, they didn't really throw everything but the kitchen sink at the Predators there in the third period. They got more shots actually in the second than they did third. But what I saw was the same thing that you just mentioned, and that was the raised intensity by the Blackhawks there in the third period. And I think everybody felt that at one point, you know, the Preds were going to crack, but they were very good defensively in their end. And, you know, they earned the win. It's a 7-game series, and now the Blackhawks need to win 4 out of 6. Not impossible. The scenario has been presented to them before. And usually what you see, I think, after a game like this is you see the Blackhawks really come with their best effort right from the puck drop of the next game.
I hope so. I got two things I want to ask you about specifically. Mm-hmm. One is the physicality of the game, and the other one is how the crowd, though, a lot of times, gets really frustrated, especially on a power play, when we don't seem to have a sense of urgency. And I think there are times where Patrick Kane is almost a little, I love his patience, but there are times where it feels like they're too cute, and people are screaming, put it on the goal, shoot the puck.
Yeah.
And when they're dribbling back and forth, you know they hear that. They hear the frustration from the crowd, and I suppose they have to sort of block that out. No sense in just launching a shot to make all of us yahoos happy. But talk about that a little bit, John. Should they be a little more should they be shooting the puck more often?
Yeah, if you ask Joel Quenneville that question, he would say, well, you know, we probably do need to have a shoot-first mentality. And I think you'll see that not only when the Blackhawks are on the power play, but I think at equal strength tomorrow as well. They got 29 shots away on Rinne last night, which is not a bad number, but they're capable of anywhere between that number and 45 in a given playoff.
People were yelling all around me, John. They were just getting very frustrated.
Yeah, I could hear it too. We're up above 318, and I could hear them up there too. And I, you know, as a broadcaster, I was expecting to see shots. But one thing that's taken place on the ice, and I'll try and you know, allay the Blackhawk fans' fears here, and let you know that I see the same thing that you do. I have the same apprehension that you do. But one thing I see is I see the opposition jumping their bodies into the shooting lane.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, if you're shooting from out near the blue line and let's say a Nashville player comes out and he's 10 feet in front of the guy that prospectively could shoot the puck. If that player, take a Blackhawk, anybody, Brian Campbell, from the blue line, wants to fire it toward the net. Well, a Nashville player gets in that shooting lane. If Campbell just says, the heck with you, I'm going to fire this, and if you get in the way and it hurts you, that's too bad. Well, he fires the puck at the guy. The puck hits the guy's shin pads and ricochets behind Campbell. Well, now maybe you've got a fast forward of the Predators that is out near the blue line and can dash behind Campbell and go get that loose puck at center ice and come in on a breakaway. You know, that can swing a playoff series. So it goes back to what Joel likes to call puck management. You hear that term a lot. And I just think that, you know, for this next game, what you're going to see is you're going to see shots from different angles, maybe even from below the goal line, with people moving to the front of the net looking for that loose puck. They'll get a little bit creative. Once they get a couple by, if they can get a couple by Pekka-Rinne here in game two, I think things will loosen up a little bit, and then they'll get more and more chances. However, Nashville showed us last night that they can defend the front of their net. So this is not going to be easy. It's never an easy series with Nashville. It seems like it's going to be when you start it, but it never is.
That's why I didn't become a professional hockey player. Two big reasons. One was I'm not getting in a sport where they say you stand in front of that guy and he's going to hit a hockey puck 60 miles an hour and you be the blocking guy. I'm not going to be the blocking guy. Number two, the other reason I didn't become a professional hockey player was I really don't skate that well, and I understand that that's, you know, pretty critical.
Yeah, that kind of is. Well, you know what, John? There's a lot you can do in your next life. Like, as an example, in my next life, I'm going to come back. I'm going to be smart. I'm going to be good looking. I'm going to be about 6'6", and I'm going to be real athletic, and girls are going to like me.
Hey, give me 30 seconds on the physicality. There were times it looked like they particularly were targeting Patrick Kane, and he seemed to have something to say about that at the end of the game. Was that a specific strategy, do you think, on their part?
Yeah, I do. I think that the Predators might be pushing that button a little bit. James Neal was the guy that was seemingly taking a few liberties with Patrick Kane, and some of those hits looked a little bit late. The officials didn't see it that way, so we have to go by what they see and what they do. But I'm sure that, you know, if Kane is going to them and saying, hey, you know, I don't mind getting hit, but the guy hit me 3 seconds after I passed the puck, and that should be interference. I think that message gets across. I don't know what we'll see in game two. I have a feeling that as the playoffs progress, the officials get a feel for the series and who the perpetrators are. And so I think in game two, you may see some of those called, but notwithstanding, even if they're not, you just have to play through that.
Yeah,
Troy Murray says it best. You got to play through that stuff and you have to, you know, get to the next moment and try and make it better.
Well, we should be used to being smaller than the other team anyway, so it's not like we can't get around that. All right, well, listen.
John, I don't. Real quick, John, on that subject, I don't want to interrupt your train of thought, but just so the listeners know, and just FYI, we get out hit just about every single game, and that's because our guys have the puck. So, you know, if you've got the hockey puck on your stick, you're not going to go looking for a check. So it's a puck possession kind of game, and so that's why the numbers are skewed that way.
It's an interesting point. Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure to hear you. You know, I'm back in town now, so I catch more of the games. And I always enjoy talking to you. Thanks for giving me some of your time. And let's make it 1-1.
Yeah, I hear you, John. And by the way, welcome back home. You were kind of a stranger up in the Twin Cities. I could never get used to that. So welcome home.
Yeah, I know. You know, listen, I tried to be a Wild fan, and it didn't work out that well for me. So it's good to be back here.
The fit just wasn't there. I know what you're saying.
See you, John.
All right. Take care, John.
John Weideman. Steve Bertrand's next. He's got some news for you. GN.